Greetings of love this morning in the name of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. We're here to worship him this morning. We've talked about him already in the service up till now and in our Sunday school. It's good to see everyone here that's here. Been a lot of coming and going. Last Sunday morning it was 94 on the register. Now we have 168 this morning, and I know that changes so over the Sunday school hour, but so there's been a lot of coming and going, and we're glad for everyone who's here and those who have returned, and then there's those who have left. So it's kind of the way it is, especially in the summer months. Especially glad to have Kevin's back with us. They've probably come the furthest. This reminded me of the end of October. We spent 10 days in Ukraine for Bible school there, and we had just a wonderful fellowship there, and especially got to know a new couple in our lives who were about our age, and they were doing the same thing we were doing. They had kind of semi-retired. He was bishop in a church in Eastern Ontario, Canada, and they were serving in Ukraine among the churches there, and he was also one of the teachers. So we got to have we just got to know them and appreciate them very much, and then here this week we hear that he just suddenly died of a heart attack. And so life is uncertain, especially as we get up in these years. We don't know what the next day holds for us, or even today. And just my heart goes out to his widow now. Just a very nice couple. And just really learn to appreciate them. And now he is going to be with his maker. And it's always, of course, much more complicated and difficult when it happens outside of the country where you live or where you're from. So we want to keep them in our prayers. Appreciate having Kevin's back. This morning I'd like to speak from Luke chapter 14. Kind of an interesting account here. The beginning of the chapter, we find Jesus there being invited to the house of not just a normal Pharisee, but a chief Pharisee, one of the chief Pharisees. He was invited there to eat bread with him on the Sabbath day. And that was kind of an invitation that would be honorable, and you'd be happy to accept it and look forward to good fellowship there. But there was an interesting conversation that came out of this with this chief Pharisee. It seemed as though the chief Pharisee may have had an ulterior motive in inviting Jesus. Here was this Jesus who had been having such an impact on the people, and his teachings were just extraordinary. And people were following him. They were listening to him. And, of course, this did generate some envy among those who were supposed to be the chief leaders and teachers. And here Jesus was getting all this attention. Well, he invited him there to his house. But it almost seems as though it was maybe for the purpose of entrapment, because they had this man come in with dropsy, and Jesus says, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" And he reached out and healed the man. And they were critical of that. And so the conversation that followed there is quite interesting. And Jesus is doing most of the talking. And so we're going to break in here in verse 12. And Jesus has something to say there to the ones that invited him. He says, "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, Call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now, I don't think that Jesus is saying that it is wrong to invite our friends and those who are close to us for a meal. But what he is saying is that we should not form such a close, tight circle that it cannot be penetrated, that it becomes exclusive, and that we would just be content and happy just to have those that are in our circle, and it's others are excluded, but that there should be a welcome for whoever it is, does not become an exclusive circle of society that cannot be penetrated, but that we're open to those around us, whether rich or poor, or whoever they are. And then he continues on in verse 15, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at the supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And so what is Jesus telling here, telling us? What was he telling the Pharisee and those that were set at meat with him? You would say maybe the elite that had come there to share in this meal. What was he telling them? He says to go out and to invite the poor and the maimed and the blind. I think what he's saying is that we need to be open to share the gospel, to invite them, regardless of who they are. And sometimes we look at missions. Well, I think one of the tendencies that we have, first of all, is to lose a vision for missions. We tend to lose the vision for reaching out. And we look at efforts that have been made, and we can find fault, and we can criticize, and we can say, well, why don't they do it this way, or why don't they do it that way, or why didn't they do this, or why didn't they do that? And we see the struggles that are going on in the mission field, and we see churches that are infants, and they just seem like they have a hard time reaching maturity, and we can say, well, if they had just done it that way, it might be different, and all of those things, we lose our interest, and we drop our support but we need to remember that these, it has to go beyond this circle of you might say the elite in Christian circles, those who are blessed with a Christian heritage, those who are blessed with a solid church, those who enjoy the fruits of generations of teaching and practice. But in many cases, what we're working with on the mission field is first generation, first of all. We're working with the poor, the blind, the maimed spiritually, those who come from broken homes, most of them. Our church in Romania, I don't think we have a single family there that doesn't come from some type of a tragic home situation. And we try to we're trying to build a church by the help of God, and many victories are won, but not without a lot of struggle. And so, looking on from the outside, we can say, "Well, why do they continue to struggle?" Well, there could be various reasons, and it could be that mistakes were made that contributed to it, and all those things. But let's remember Jesus' teaching here. He says, reach out to the poor, the blind, the maimed, and the sick. And not to those who will be able to recompense you. So I'm just saying this. Let's not lose sight. Let's not lose our vision. Let's not lose our burden. Just because it seems as though there continues to be struggle on the mission field. And we see that in most cases. but then we look at the positive side and we see souls being saved. We see growth. We see maturing happening. We see those who come from unfortunate home situations who are hanging on, who are wanting to do what's right. And it's an encouragement to us. But they need encouragement. They need attention. They need help. And they need someone to show them how it's done. So, and rather than standing back with a critical eye, let's show them how it's being done. Let's pray the Lord of harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest, that there would be those who are willing to go that are able to show them how to form a solid church and how to live and walk a Christian life. So he says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Let's just not lose that vision. And then in verse 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And I won't continue reading there, but I thought it's interesting, the first words of the next chapter. The word evidently got out. Jesus' teaching here about the poor, the blind, the maimed, and all of that, and his message that he gave to the chief Pharisee here, evidently got out to this group of people, because in chapter 15 then, it starts out, says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And so the word got out, and the publicans and the sinners came flocking to Jesus. Here is a man who understands us. Here is a man who has a burden for us. Here is a man who cares. Here is someone who can show us a better way. And if they did respond to the message, they didn't remain publicans and sinners, but they repented like Zacchaeus did, and they changed their life, and they became a success story spiritually. But there was one who cared for them, and they knew where to go. They knew who it was, and they knew that he truly did. And so, let's just keep our hearts open to that. We enjoy so much. We're so blessed here in our congregation. We have such a support group, and we have a solid foundation to build and to grow on. And we just You know, we desire that so much for whoever would seek the truth and want to follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus, that they also can share in those same benefits and those same blessings. Shall we kneel to pray?